Watchers. This is broadcast number 652, and it's June the 4th, 1984. 1 year ago this week, tape number 600, I was talking about the Pope urging United States senators to set the human rights example for the world. Look how much they've done. 50,000 deaths so far in El Salvador. The Pope is asking for human rights, and the priests and the Catholic officials in Ireland today were giving Reagan hell for his not having a condition of human rights. They worked close with Father Romero and with Miss Sullivan, the nun that was down, Miss Sullivan who was down in El Salvador, who was murdered, and they feel closely those people. The individuals in the church are concerned with human rights. The Pope asked 6 U.S. senators to help him set the record straight. Two of them, their names are familiar, I brought up, Senator Lugar and Senator Specter, Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania. Now, Richard Lugar from Indiana was involved in a scheme with a Swiss bank account, laundering money for Richard Nixon's reelection in 1972, money transmitted by a fugitive Nazi war criminal, Horia Sima. Sima was living in Spain, and the money went to the Union Bank of Switzerland. He was asking him to help with human rights, and Arlen Specter, of course, is the one bullet, the inventor of the one bullet theory for the Warren Commission, who covered up Nazis from Munich, Germany, who came to Dallas, Texas, and were involved with the murder of John Kennedy. Those are two of the 6 senators, and then, of course, I went into the appointment of Herman Abst 1 year earlier to the Vatican Bank, and Herman Abst's role with the Deutsche Bank, with Himmler, with the board of I.G. Farben, the slave labor, the death at Auschwitz, and so forth. The Pope has so much nerve to call on people like Arlen Specter and Lugar, who are directly related or indirectly a hair's breadth from the world Nazi organizations that exist, and he's telling them, get yourself involved in human rights. That is so hypocritical. And then I was talking about an article by Ernest Volkmann, who wrote a book on Klaus Barbie in Bolivia with his cocaine connections and the CIA connections. That book is out now. And, of course, how much civil rights or human rights do you get with drug traffic, the murders, the crashes, the people that OD and the witnesses that are killed and so forth, closely tied to members of the Vatican, the fascists down in Bolivia and all of South America with narcotics traffic. I was talking about the cocaine and drug connections with Israel, with the Vatican, and with the United States government, which are a total contradiction for the human rights, and I wish the Pope would just shut up or put up, because there's so much hypocrisy. I'm going to talk most of this hour on the complicated web of John DeLorean, Johnny Carson, Edwin Meese, the Commercial Bank of California, the drug traffickers, but I want to run down one or two quick news stories, or 5 or 6, in about 4 minutes if I can. This week, June the 6th, 1944, the U.S. Army, the British, invaded Normandy Beach. You have seen and will hear and read a lot on the assault against the mainland of Europe at this particular time in history in June 1944. Ronald Reagan is over there attending the ceremonies, and they're trying to squash together a particular time capsule of history that I've been studying just the past 2-3 years. I've been going into this very carefully, intensely, because the Battle of the Bulge is not separated from the problems we have today, and the landing at Normandy was the beginning of the end of the war, but it was carefully contrived as early as 1941 and certainly from 1943 on the delaying of the war until General Patton and the American Army could get all of Hitler's top people over there by the Rhine in that little area of the Bulge, then round them all up and protect them, coddle them, and then use them for United States intelligence and also in the narcotics traffic later and in the Cold War. Now, the Soviet Union is furious about the D-Day celebrations. Outside of Moscow, you've maybe seen the memorials, the weapons, and they ask, how can you have this kind of a celebration and distort the history? The Soviets lost 20 million people fighting the Nazis in their country, just outside of Moscow. The story is that they believe that 2 years earlier, they could have been protected, but the Americans and the British watched to see if Hitler could take the Soviet Union. 25 million more were homeless. Can you visualize the United States if 20 million were dead and 25 million were wandering around? And so they charge that the image at this particular time of America at Normandy shows that the Americans are the leaders of the free world, and how America landed with Ronald Reagan dramatically at the beach, protecting freedom and democracy, where actually it was stalled. As a matter of fact, there didn't have to be a battle in the Bulge of the Bulge in December of 1944. The war could have been over much earlier, in the spring and summer of 1944. So the Russians claim that this is a big show and that the purpose of this ceremony is to glorify the United States as the savior of Europe and to justify the United States as the leader of Europe today and the protector of Europe, whereas this is far from the truth. So they're putting down the way this is celebrated, and I suppose they have good reason to do that. There's a new book out by Philip Warner called The D-Day Landings, Philip Warner's book, The D-Day Landings, published by William Kimber. And the essence of this book is that there are secrets to be told about D-Day. 40 years ago, we were told what happened at D-Day, and the author says the original accounts, official or otherwise, were written comparatively soon after the event, before the existence of the British inception and decoding operations of ULTRA, a vital factor, and long before many of the participants were free to speak. Now, that's the way you, Trevor Roper, wrote the history of the bunker of Hitler before the bunker was even opened. He was high up British intelligence. This is the way the Warren Commission hearings are locked up to the year 2037. The story of Pearl Harbor is locked up. There is a perversion of history at every level, and even this person is saying the accounts were written early. Well, as soon as the Battle of Bulge was over and the top German generals and officials were rounded up by young Private Henry Kissinger and John McCloy's intelligence army with Alan Dulles at Oberammergau and at various other places, they wrote the history of the war. Fritz Kramer wrote the history of the Bulge. From his point of view, Adolf Hitler's top general wrote the history, and I'm not sure, again, if it isn't the same one who's writing our history today for Henry Kissinger. We're still working on that. But one of the problems was the very people who caused the situation wrote the history. The London Times has a story this week, May 31st, last week. The late Alan Dulles, who once headed the CIA, and remember, he was on the commission to investigate the murder of John Kennedy, arranged the escape from justice of the Nazi war criminal Walter Rauff. Walter Rauff suddenly had his demise when the Vatican was supposed to explain how they helped him leave. And John Loftus, who's written a book on the Nazi war criminals and coming to the United States, claimed in Boston just a week ago that Alan Dulles of the OSS arranged the protection of Walter Rauff. In the Rebel article that I did in November of 1983, I described Alan Dulles working with Carl Wolff. He was the Gestapo head in Italy. Wolff was close to Walter Rauff, who was allowed to go down to Chile and given his passport. But it wasn't the Vatican alone. What Loftus is saying here is that Alan Dulles and William Donovan and the powers that be worked closely with the Nazis, and that is part of the planning of those last stages that I may update from week to week from now until through December and the anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge and show you what went on until next May. Maybe we can run simultaneously every week a little history. This is when the troops landed 40 years ago in Normandy, and maybe update it for you from time to time. As I wrote in The Rebel, when Rome was liberated in 1944, the Vatican was working very closely with American intelligence, with Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, with Alan Dulles, and this is the team that gave these Nazis a protection. So to blame the Vatican alone is not fair, and Loftus is saying the American intelligence was part of it. There is a map in the newspaper today, The Liberation of Rome, and it shows the landing in January 22nd, 1944, and it tells about the Allies entering Rome and General Mark Clark. And when you read the glories of the battle, oh my, 40 years ago this happened, it just sounds so glorious and how hard we fought. Can you believe that as those 300,000 Allied soldiers were wounded or killed outside Rome, that they had already decided to use the people who killed them within a few months, working for the American organizations? They were making the deal while the Americans were dying on the beachheads. That is disgusting, but it's exactly what happened. If you go back to June 4th, 1944, and the Allied invasion plans of southern Italy, and you go to the June 6th invasion of Normandy, the men running the war, the Chase Manhattan Bank, John J. McCloy, who released the Nazis, who was on the Warren Commission, and Alan Dulles, who became a member of the Warren Commission, they were using the very people who were killing the Americans for further use, and now they have this country bankrupt and on the verge of World War III. That's how I happened to get into the Vatican and Nazi connections, studying who killed John Kennedy. And after a few years, everything began to unravel, and the links of the members of the commission who covered up the murder of Kennedy were working with people who were covering up the true story of the war and how it was delayed and how we hired and rounded up the people who were killing our young men overseas. And this was a big patriotic event this week, to look at the gravestones over in France or wherever and celebrate their mutilation while John J. McCloy is still alive. He was chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, worked over in Europe, and the memory of Dulles, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, should be linked to the highest forms of treason, not only for the JFK assassination cover-up, but going back to this World War II prior to the end of it. One quick article from the London Times, I'll do more later, why another Italian government could fall. There are riots in Rome. There are signs, long go, must go. They're referring to Pietro, P-I-E-T-R-O, long go, the Italian minister for the budget. It has come out that his name is linked on a list and confirmed of the P2 Masonic Lodge scandal, that he is in fact a traitor. A list came out, Signora Anselmi, A-N-S-E-L-M-I, came out with a list of the 900 members of the P2 Masonic Lodge, the fascists and Nazis, that want to take control of Italy again and take over the world also. And the truth is that she has given this list, and Mr. Jelly of the P2, Lizio Jelly, who fled the country, sent a notice to Italy saying, a 24-page memorandum saying, yes, that her list, Signora Tina Anselmi's list, she's chairman of the commission investigating for 2 years the P2 scandal, those 900 alleged members are authentic. Jelly says that the names of those people are sympathizers and my friends. Lizio Jelly was at Reagan's inauguration. He has confirmed the fact that every one of those 900, including people in government right now and including Mr. Craxi, who may fall, C-R-A-X-I, and the whole ball of wax, are part of the Mussolini fascist Nazi entourage. Now, the people in Ireland, as I say, didn't give Reagan such a good reception, and they claim that the Catholic bishops in this country object to the slaughters in Central America, and they are unsympathetic with those bishops. Now, pretty soon, Reagan is having a group to counter the Catholic bishops' letter on poverty and economic indifference, and really, it's feudalism versus slavery in this country and over the world. And Washington Post had a story May 19th that a group of people got together to counter these charges, headed by William Simon. William Simon met with Alexander Haig, Secretary Interior, former Secretary Interior Walter Hickel, Claire Luce, the aging Claire Luce of the current President's Foreign Intelligence Board, Advisory Board, and industrialist J. Peter Grace, all people listed Just about, I didn't have Haig in my article on the JFK and the Nazis, but certainly Henry Luce and Clara Luce and the Sovereign Military Order of Malta and J. Peter Grace and the links back to the assassinations and William Simon, chairman of the Olympics Committee and on the board of Heliogenetics, a long background we've gone over and over on. I can update it. These people who are so well off, who are so prosperous, millionaires, just virtually millionaires, or ultimate power, like Haig being on the board of these multinational corporations, I want to do more on Haig's recent promotions and so forth, want to answer the bishop's letter on economic affairs and how the bishop shouldn't say in their pastoral letter about the economy and oppression. They claim that economic indifferences and irregularities and the variance of what a person earns and opportunity is way off, and they ask the bishops to do something about this. So here are these people getting together, the same old CIA, Vatican, Sovereign Military Order of Malta group, trying to justify a system that goes back to the feudal era before the French Revolution, or certainly at the time of the Tsars and the Russian Revolution. I will do more on Gloria Steinem and her friend. Maybe you've heard on television. It hasn't been in the news. It was picked up on all the broadcasts about tape recordings of a particular person from Iran sending arms into Iran. And in the course of taping those conversations, the FBI and the CIA, they picked up Stanley Pottinger, who was working as one of the agents sending arms to Iran. Now, I'm sure Pottinger, who is an attorney, a Republican, former assistant attorney general for civil rights under Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford, and there's a contradiction again, Pottinger, it was heard on these tapes. Now, he may have, under the subterfuge of Sayyid Khomeini, starting a counter-revolution over there in Iran so that they would get in the hands of people that would uprise and throw out Khomeini. But Stanley Pottinger was described in Newsweek and many articles as being the friend for 9 years of Gloria Steinem. This is the woman who had the big birthday party glorifying herself at the Waldorf Astoria on her 50th birthday, and as Newsweek described, for the past 9 years, she has been romantically involved with Washington attorney Stanley Pottinger, the Republican and former assistant attorney general, and his name was picked up on these tape recordings the same day as her birthday party. I guess it spoiled the party a little bit, but you see, she wasn't photographed with him. Now, the transition fund of Edwin Meese, I'll be doing a lot more on Meese, of course, in the weeks to come. Los Angeles Times, June 1st. They are checking out this special fund during Ronald Reagan's transition. There was a lump sum payment made of $10,000 to some of Edwin Meese's close friends, and one of them was Helene Von Daum. There was Interior Secretary William Clark, who brought Von Daum to this country, and Von Daum was the recipient of $2,000 to $3,000 of this little special fund. Of course, I have my opinion of what Von Daum does. Maybe she used the $3,000 to take that trip to the Middle East with Mrs. Meese, but I'm sure that came from government taxes. Reverend Eamon, E-A-M-O-N, Casey, was one of the people on television talking about Ronald Reagan and his human rights, and he said that there's been 50,000 people in El Salvador murdered, most of them by the military. 500,000 have been displaced, and another 500,000 have left and are refugees. This is sort of a mini Moscow, a testimony to what the Kissinger, Haig, Kramer, Pentagon can do. This is like the Nazis on the outside of Moscow with their 20 million dead and their millions displaced. This is just one country, El Salvador. When you bring the Kissingers and Kramers to this country, this is what you get close to your shores and all over the world. El Salvador now with 50,000. This is why the Reverend Eamon Casey was so angry with President Ronald Reagan going over to Ireland, and even the Prime Minister, Mr. Fitzgerald, rebuked the Central American policy and talked about their closeness to people that had been killed there and so forth. Reagan seemed noticeably upset on the television when several members walked out of the parliament. I'll update the John Belushi story. There's a lot of material and excerpts of his book out. There's a picture of John Landis in one of the newspaper articles. The LA Herald saying John Landis tried to stop Belushi's drug use while filming the Blues Brothers. Well, does that say he was willing to let him take drugs before and after, but just finish your movie? You want to make a movie? When the movie's over, go back to drugs and kill yourself. Well, shortly after that, John Landis was charged with murder and the explosives of Vic Morrow and two children killed on the set. Do you want... Twilight Zone went on selling. It's on home box office. The Belushi movie, Blues Brothers, has reruns. Is that what the history of Hollywood is about? Is this a microcosm, you know? Make your bucks, but not while on my set, and then kill yourself, and I'll have the movie rights. There was just a picture of John Landis, and I'll go more into the Woodward book on John Belushi. When I heard that he was asked to write this book by Judy Jacqueline Belushi, I was horrified. You remember I commented on the program, if a guy could cover up Watergate, he could cover up the Belushi. Now Dan Aykroyd and Judy Belushi are saying that he has smeared John. He's made him look like a pervert, an idiot, a total slob with none of his genius, none of his sensitivity. Well, they sat by and didn't want to investigate any further. What did they expect? They should have done a little homework. Incidentally, John Belushi and Woodward were both from Wheaton, Illinois. And Dutch Reagan, isn't that cute? Dutch Reagan went to college in Wheaton, Illinois. Eureka College is where he went. He never knew anyone. He never knew anything about it. He never visited the school. But he decided to go to Eureka College because a Dixon football star of his that he liked from the high school went to that college, and it was a Christian college, and that was good enough for him. So making the transition from Belushi to Woodward, this is kind of a small place, that Wheaton, Illinois. I don't know how big it was in those days, but just think, Reagan went to college there in the hometown of Belushi. Proves nothing, but I thought it was kind of funny. How many times am I going to read Wheaton, Illinois? Now I want to go on for the next 40 minutes on John DeLorean, the news on DeLorean. I don't know if I can do it all in this 40 minutes. It is a very complicated case. I did broadcast back in August, many broadcasts on DeLorean and his links to cocaine traffic in South America and interconnecting links of his banks. And I'll review some of that in case you didn't hear those broadcasts. But August the 1st, tape number 608, and August the 8th, 609, I did extensive work with charts and diagrams. If any of you don't have those two broadcasts and you want them, they're very valuable to study the DeLorean case and the cast of characters that begin to enter into it. Now, the London Times had a story, and it wasn't on many headlines over here, DeLorean drug links with the famous, and it did mention Johnny Carson. And that same Friday night, Carson got on television. Johnny Carson claimed that this was totally false, to bring his name up, that DeLorean in 1980 had bragged that he did a drug traffic connection with Carson. The defense, DeLorean said, this is impossible. His attorney said it's impossible. The government prosecuting DeLorean said, that's impossible. Carson's lawyer said it's impossible. And then Carson himself said on TV, that's impossible. Methink thou protest too much. And certainly there were so many links of Carson to these various people, Timothy Hoffman and the DeLorean connections. I'll try to run some of those down, bring in the newest evidence. But in addition to throwing out that name, the London Times said, at the Los Angeles trial Thursday, DeLorean's defense counsel, Howard Weitzman, W-E-I-T-Z-M-A-N, announced that he learned that Edwin Meese had secretly overseen the DeLorean investigations personally and was monitoring their developments and even making key decisions. The defense implication is that DeLorean was set up by the American agencies at the request of Mrs. Thatcher, who wanted an excuse to close the factory. Now, I had alleged that DeLorean was set up by William Hetrick and Hoffman, and also by Ed Wilson. Remember a while back I said that DeLorean used William Hetrick to bring in the narcotics from Bolivia, and that Hetrick was arrested in Florida with his son and with the son of Edwin Wilson. And they said, if you don't take us, we'll deliver DeLorean. Now, getting back to this case, I'm only speculating now because sometimes you have a hard evidence. And when I'm speculating, I'm going to say this as a possible speculation that will develop later. Robert Keith Gray put on the inaugural services for Ronald Reagan. He had his friend Johnny Carson there and Frank Sinatra, and he's close to CIA Director William Casey and Paul Exalt from Nevada. Gray also is in charge of Task Force 157. I've mentioned over and over again his boss was Henry Kissinger, who I have detailed almost a year ago working the Claus Barbie cocaine connection. So Gray would be close to Kissinger and the cocaine connections. Now, the allegations that Hetrick and his son, or Edwin Wilson's son, were being let off if they would bring in DeLorean makes sense if you think of the fact that they don't want the case to get too close to Johnny Carson or Ronald Reagan, that they have to cut it now. Robert Gray, the PR guy, has to cut the losses. Gray was close to Edwin Meese. He's the one whose name surfaced giving this foundation money, setting it up for Mrs. Meese to get $40,000 a year. Robert Gray is on the board of Helionetics with Edwin Teller and Admiral Hayward and William Simon. Gray, we have a who's who, and I've done it every week on Rundown on Gray. So Gray would be close to Edwin Wilson, who he worked for in the CIA, and Gray is close to Henry Kissinger, who worked with Barbie, or works until Barbie was arrested, if there were DeLorean connections. So that is the only reason right now that I can see why Edwin Meese is overseeing the DeLorean investigation. Edwin Meese is close to Gray, and Meese can tell William French Smith and the federal prosecutors, cut it with DeLorean, get DeLorean, and we'll let the others off or they'll talk. So that Gray and Meese have this close proximity, and Gray is looking out for his buddies like Wilson and Kissinger. So he's using Meese, and what they're doing, if the defense says that DeLorean is set up, that is true. But to say that Margaret Thatcher doesn't want factories in Ireland would hardly be the motive. And I think it's closer to what I've shared with you on the program. Now, before I run down a lot of details, because there's so much news and I have a stack of articles on these subjects that have been in the news the last few weeks, I just want to give you some chronological dates on Carson to update this for you based upon the articles that I'm going to go into. In 1978, Johnny Carson set up a bank called the Commercial Bank of California. It's just on Doheny, right outside Beverly Hills. It's about 50 feet from Beverly Hills, and it's up there on Sunset. They owned a 27% share of the bank, but they formed the entire bank, and this was supposed to be a link of entertainment industry and so forth with the banking industry. At the time the bank was formed in 1978, at that same time, the Wall Street Journal was running articles about Jack Catane, C-A-T-A-I-N, and his links to the Philadelphia mobster Angelo Bruno, who was murdered in 1980. And even though this was common knowledge in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the bank was to give large loans to Jack Catane, causing a $10 million lawsuit filed against Johnny Carson and Henry Bushkin this past week. The same day that the links of Carson broke, the lawsuit was filed against these men that they headed a bank that funded known mobsters, and thinking particularly of Jack Catane. But when they put him as a person who got loans from the bank that they dealt with, they knew he was a crime figure. So you're not working with a bunch of virgins out in Hollywood who don't know anything. If you give loans to people like Catane, Henry Bushkin is an attorney for John DeLorean, and he was the attorney that set up the bank with Carson. And he's not the attorney for DeLorean, pardon me, he's the attorney for Johnny Carson, Bushkin. But then he's on the board of DeLorean Motors. So to get the first point straight, in 1978, Carson and Bushkin set up a bank. They formed the bank. They had 27% of the shares. And the same year they formed it, the man who was to bring them out and expose them by had been given loans from them, from this bank. Jack Cadane was a known mob figure, so DeLorean can't act so surprised when it comes out that his name is associated with mob figures. This goes way back. Now, in 1980, John DeLorean boasted, according to Timothy Hoffman, that he did a cocaine traffic with Johnny Carson. That's the point that was so vehemently denied by everybody. Hoffman was a long drug trafficker, and he was talking about raising money for DeLorean. He lived next door to him in San Diego, and Hoffman was a partner of Robert Durand. I did, as I say, almost a year ago, some of this material, but you don't remember it, and the Durand name is coming up in the trials right now again. He was the business partner, both of them, heavily investing in narcotics and then using the Commerce Bank of California. Now, Durand used the Commerce Bank, formed by Bushkin and Johnny Carson, and he became a co-partner in the bank, and Mr. Henry Bushkin was listed as the agent for Robert Durand for the mob money, the money front, and the crime profits. We'll go back to that point. I'll take a 1-minute break, and then we'll get on to that.